My name's Stuart Langridge, and I work for Canonical.
My name's Jonah Bacon, and I work for Canonical.
And this is...
Not Shot of Canonical. A few weeks back, Faden Whiteley, friend of Shot of Jack and longtime listener of Lug Radio, sent us an email asking us to cover a topic which has caused some heated debate in the open source world. That is, the tension between free software development and money-making companies. His email kicked off referring to Nat Friedman and Zonka leaving Novell, moving on to comment about Greg Crowe Hartman seemingly always writing on Canonical and Ubuntu, and finishing with his assertion that Miguel de Caza, quote, plainly loves impressing his mates at Microsoft. In the interest of an equal opportunity boot to the spuds, Phelim also acknowledged that while he personally didn't see it as a problem, Ubuntu One does exist, Mr. Langridge, and some people do have some concerns about it. Now, never have we looked to you folks more to contribute to the conversation. Ack and I both do work for Canonical, a commercial organisation that has built a business around free software. And while we're both confident that we can indeed speak independently of our affiliation with Canonical, we don't expect any of you cynical bastards to believe that. We are, though, keen to explore Phelim's question. That being, is it really possible to get the balance right between free software and commercial interests?
One of the things that always strikes me about this conversation, and something which came out of Phelim's email, and here, you know, boot to the spuds for Phelim, for which I apologise in advance. The assertion that Miguel plainly loves impressing his mates at Microsoft was done in the context of ODF, the Open Office format, versus OOXML, the Microsoft Office XML document format. And Miguel de Caza is well known for believing that OOXML is better than ODF. And Phelim's assertion seemed to be that the only reason de Caza would be thinking like that is in order to impress his mates at Microsoft. The subtext of this being that by definition, OOXML can't actually be good, presumably because it comes from Microsoft.
And therefore, it's kind of a latent arrogance, right?
It is.
In that whatever we create must be better just because we're a free software, we're the free software community, right?
And I honestly don't think that's the way it is. And I think it does us harm. This feeling that there's no, I mean, on the one hand, there is a reasonable case to be made that open source spends its time copying commercial development. but it's not consistent to do that and at the same time believe that everything we make is better. And it's something that I think we need to get past.
You know, I agree.
If you think about the balance in between free software and commercial interests in that kind of context, Microsoft don't have that problem, you know, because they don't have any free software. And Debian don't have that problem because basically they don't have any commercial interests, same as Gentoo don't. It's people who are trying to strike the middle ground. It's easy if you're Microsoft. It's where you're trying to stand in the middle of the two camps that it becomes difficult.
It seems to be very black and white. And I think that that's the reason why my impression is that companies who are involved in the open source free software world will just by definition always get a hard time because of this. They will always get a hard time for two main reasons. One is exactly what you've just said, is that the lines are not that black and white a lot of the time. So if you look at Red Hat or you look at Canonical or you look at Novell, each of these organizations has got products. They've got products that in many cases are free software. But these are products designed and developed by people inside that company. So even if you have an entirely free software code base, these companies will often get grief saying, well, you should be liaising with the community more. There's always an expectation that anything that is not immediately defined as a full open source free software project that has no commercial ties is therefore somehow tainted, as if the well has been poisoned because it's coming from a company. So that's one reason. I think the other thing is that part of the reason why I think there's this problem is that making money is not a bug, right? And it's seen as a bug. If you look at the free software community and you look at all this amazing software that we've got, a significant chunk of it was developed by companies. Novell are a great example of this. Novell have done some wonderful upstream software development. Red Hat are exactly the same. Canonical are the same. And there's some wonderful upstream software development has been going on. But some people have an expectation that those companies, you know, where they have a commercial product, there's often a, well, why aren't you doing this for free? Like, you experienced this with the music store, right?
Yes, we have quite a lot, actually. There's the actual code to the music store stuff that's on your desktop is all open source. It ties into a closed source server, Ubuntu One. But a large proportion of the kickback that there's been, and I should be clear that the kickback is coming from a very small section of the community, but of those people, a large portion of the complaint seems to be that we, Canonical, are enabling people to buy MP3s, and therefore we're not pushing free formats. It's beyond the idea of the software being open source, and and the complaint is that Ogg Vorbis isn't available. Now, I mean, I'm not here to defend the decisions or anything like that. It's, but that's a perfect example of trying to strike that balance. We decided that it was better to have an MP3 store so people can buy music, which they would like to do, rather than not have a music store because we haven't yet convinced the labels that we can have Ogg Vorbis. And in order, you know, and if we do that, then hopefully we will make some money from that, and that money then feeds back into funding the Ubuntu distribution team to produce cool new things.
And that's the thing. I mean, there was that research study that said, was it 75% of free software development is done by companies? And it's like, to me, it's one of those things whereby I absolutely respect the fact that some people in the free software community object to the music store, and they object to some of the decisions we've made in Ubuntu, and they object to some of the decisions that Red Hat have made and that Novell have made with SUSE. And that's fine. The thing that's wonderful about free software is the fact that we have so many options. If you don't like it, go and use Debian. Go and use GNUSense or whatever you might want to prefer. We have so many options available. It's not like we've only got one free software operating system. But I think the thing is that in the world that we live in, you know, if for these companies to contribute to making more free software, they need to make some money. And some people don't have an issue, for example, with a music store, of going and buying, like, I bought the new Slayer album, and it's in MP3 format, and you know what? I wish it was in Ogg format, but I respect that that's a problem that we can't solve as a company, and Canonical is not a digital music distributor, right? And we're unlikely to ever be one, so
Something that I think's important, I mean, I should give proper credit to Red Hat here. If you look at Red Hat software stack, it's completely open source. CentOS is just repackaging of it without the Red Hat trade dress, which is fine. And it's impressive that they've built up a company which makes money around a completely open source stack. One of the finding the balance in between free software and commercial interests tends to fall, if you're a company, into the stuff that's free software doesn't make you any money, and the stuff that makes you money isn't free software. A criticism frequently leveled at Canonical. If you look at Launchpad and Landscape and Ubuntu One, that's a perfect example of that. And full credit to Red Hat for, as far as I could tell, having avoided that. Which is great. If you look at status.net, which is the code underlying Identica, they even Prodmer has now put together a company around that and is selling consultancy and selling status.net installation and support to companies. And again, that's a completely open source stack. But I think that's quite hard to do. Some people have managed it, and massive credit to them. But since it is quite hard to do, I think a lot of companies, Canonical included, take the slightly easier but possibly slightly more profitable route.
Well, the thing is, as well as setting up a company is easy, making money is hard. And the thing is that I think going back to the question is, can we get the balance right? I'm not entirely convinced that if you take a completely free software foundation definition of freedom operating system, something such as Debian as an example, or GNUSense as a more specific example, I'm not entirely sure that there is a means in which a company can invest in that level of freedom and make money, enough money to maintain further development of that software. I'd like it if it was the case, but I think that some companies do have to have some products that where they have a little bit more control, or you know, using, you know, the Red Hat network as an example, or Landscape as an example, or you know, some of the Novell products as an example. I'm not entirely sure. I wish it was that way, but I don't know if the world's architected that way.
That's exactly the point, really, I think. Trying to set that balance and the notion of having a bit more control over how your product is used and viewed. That we've arrived at the distinction between software and services, really. And the general consensus of opinion seems to be that services are okay to not be free software, which is why everyone uses Google Search Engine, for example.
Yeah.
And canonical stuff is like that. You look at things like the Red Hat Network or the SUSE Build Studios or whatever. Because they're designed to be single-shot services that people talk to. And they're something that you can invent a commercial business around while still delivering free software to everyone's desktop.
I think the key thing is, and this is the approach we've taken at Canonical, is that the software that we release, like Ubuntu, will always be free. And the software should always be free, but there should never be a requirement to make people use non-free services. Like, you shouldn't have to use Ubuntu One as a paid subscriber to use Ubuntu. That should never be the case. And when that's the case, we've lost.
Yeah.
But if by including access to these services, people just don't use them. If you don't like it, just don't use it. But the software, you should still always have freely available access to the software. And that's always been the view, certainly for Canonical. I mean, Mark's made it very clear that, you know, we want to enable people to use Ubuntu in all kinds of scenarios. But it's up to them to make the decision as to what they want to do.
How free they want to be. So the point is not that companies should necessarily take a wholly free software or wholly proprietary line, but leave the choice to the people using it, who can then decide, I want that service because it's important to me. I don't want that service because I believe that everything should be free.
Exactly. And, you know, if people don't use the Ubuntu One Music Store, as was the example that we've had in this shot, I think we'd all say, you know, that's cool. No worries. That's fine. You know, that's your level of freedom. And it's wonderful you can exercise your level of freedom. But for those people who are happy to buy MP3s in the Ubuntu One Music Store and would enjoy that service, then they you know, everyone wins. Everyone has access. So, but you know what? That's our view. That's what we think. Thank you, Phelan, for making the suggestion. We'd love to kind of, do shots from Shot of Jack community members' suggestions. So, but what do you think? Do you think Ak and I have got it right? Do you think we're barking up the wrong tree? Do you think there can be a balance? Do you think it's acceptable to have commercial services inside free software distributions? Or do you think we should never have that? You need to go to the Shot of Jack website and leave your comments right there.
Or you can go to shotofjack.org/discuss to find out how to talk to us on Twitter, where presumably you'll say that you think it's a good idea, or Identica, where presumably you'll say that you think it's a bad idea, or send us email to talktous@shotofjack.org.
Indeed, and we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.